Hallelujah. The Lord's good this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. He's a great God. He does great things. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You may be seated this morning. I count it a tremendous honor to be with you this morning. I really don't know how I wound up here, but I'm here. And come to preach to you this morning the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I got my start 23 years ago in this gospel way. Raised in a family that was preachers. My dad was a minister. And wasn't many youth camps when I was a boy. But 30 years old, the Lord saved me. And I had two children. And we began that same year, got saved in January, and that same year in June, we started the youth camp. We've been a part of the same youth camp for 23 years, so I admire the leaders of this camp. I know what you go through, and I love the young people. And Brother Lucas, you don't know me probably, but Brother Lucas is my son, and you know him. But me and Mama took our children to youth camp. Now we're taking our grandchildren to youth camp. And it's just a wonderful thing. It never quits. It just continues on. And the blessings of God. And God has been good to me and my family. And I count it an honor to be with you this morning. Thank God for Brother Don Goodwin. All the people that are overseers of this camp. All the ministry. The preaching of the gospel last night. And I just give you honor this morning and believe God to help us. Stand with me this morning if you would. If you have your Bibles, 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, we're going to be reading from. I want to read verse 3 and 4 of the 10th chapter. Verse 3 and 4 of the 10th chapter. Father, we give you glory and honor this morning. We thank you for your goodness and for your mercy and for your grace. I ask you to help us in this house this morning. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says, in chapter 10, 2 Corinthians, verse 3 and 4. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You may be seated. Paul speaks of his spiritual authority that's been given to him by God. He was ordained and called to be an apostle, and he says it in almost every book that he wrote. He lets you know his credentials, that God had ordained him. And Paul said, though we live after we've been born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost, we still live in a flesh body. And we still have frailties and weaknesses, and we cannot depend upon ourselves. It's an impossibility. And so though we walk or we live in the flesh after we're born again, though we live or walk in the flesh, we have to deal with him every day, putting him aside. We do not war after the flesh. Though we dress him up every day and we have to cater to him some, he doesn't control our warfare. This is not how we face the enemy in this flesh. Because if you face a spiritual enemy, which the devil is, when you face spiritual with flesh, you're never going to win that battle. They're contrary one to the other, and you can't win the battle. But if you face spirit with spirit, If you face God against the devil, then you've already won the battle. If you use the weapons that God has given you. It's important to all of us in here this morning that we use our spiritual weapons. We don't war after the flesh. We do not war. We do not execute our duty as a soldier. Our commission as a preacher of the gospel is not according nor is joined to the concerning of the flesh. The human nature of the external, it don't depend upon the frail frame of the human, nor do I draw from the fountain of my own intellect. It's impossible to fight Satan and the spiritual wickedness is in high places. It's higher than this framework right here, but it's not higher than God. I do not depend upon my physicality. I don't depend upon my feelings. I don't depend upon what I might have learned, but I depend upon God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not carnal. The weapons of our, the tools of the instruments of the, what we've been given by God to become a soldier in this great army. No battle can be won in the flesh. Thinking with a carnal mind, the Bible says to be carnally minded is death. The tools, the instruments, that which we use to conduct our conflict, our warfare, our military service, our apostolic calling, what he's given me to do and you to do. We're soldiers in the army of God. We're not all the same. Some of us are different. But we're all in one body. And we're all as important as the other. We all have different abilities. And God calls to the several ability. Some of you can sing like a polyparrot. Others may not sound that good. Some are very intelligent, spiritually speaking. Others may be slow. I have a grandson. I have a granddaughter. Her name is Pearl. And she's 3. And she thinks or she acts like she's 30. But I got a grandson that he's still trying to learn to walk. He's almost two years old. And he don't talk. Some people are just slow. Ain't nothing wrong with that. It takes time for some people. It takes time, but be encouraged. If you're in this army of the Lord, he'll utilize you. He'll use you. Just take courage. You may not think you're this, or you may not be that, and you may be able to point your finger at people up on the podium and say, well, I'll never be that. Well, you may never be that, but what you are, you're important to God. You're important to God. And he puts you where he wants you. The Bible said that he places you in the body himself. So we don't war after the flesh. They're not our weapons. Look what verse 4 says. For the weapons of our warfare. Who's our warfare? They're not. They never will be. They'll never be carnal. They'll never be carnal. And you can't mix them. Because if you do, it's nothing but utter failure. We have a whole bunch of churches in America. And they got a lot of mixture of flesh and spirit. And that's not going to help anything in America. What America needs is a church baptized in the Holy Ghost, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It may not be flat. The gospel of Jesus Christ may not be flashy, and it may not be flamboyant, and it may not promise you a jet, a new car, or a house. But I promise you what it will do, it'll deliver the soul from hell. It'll bring a man out of darkness. It'll bring him into light. When a man stands flat-footed behind the pulpit and begins to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, there may be many in there that say, I'd like to have something else. Give me more. But I'm going to tell you, there may be somebody in there that's lost and separated from God, and the only hope they have is a preacher that's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's delivered from his sin. Well, for the weapons of our warfare are not, nor shall they ever be, nor does he ever give it a place. Huh? You ever been in a conflict and the first weapon you wanted to use was self? Have you ever been reviled to your face? Huh? And the first thing you wanted to do is say something from self. But all of a sudden, the good Holy Ghost said, keep your mouth shut. I'll do the talking. Huh? They are not carnal. They're not pertaining to the flesh. They're not of the body. They're not of the unregenerated mind. They're not of the fallen nature. They're not of the frailty. But they're mighty, not carnal, but mighty. I said not carnal, but mighty. Now, I want to tell you this morning that Satan is mighty. Satan is mighty. I'm not here to give him glory. I'm just stating the facts. I hear a lot of people say, well, one of these days I'm going to grab Satan by the tail. I'm going to pull on his tail, pop his false teeth out. I'm going to stomp on his head. You ain't going to do nothing. I said, you're not going to do anything, but if you put your faith in the one that's already done it, and his name is Christ this morning, I said he bruised his head. That means he put the head of the thing out of business. I said he put the head of the thing out of business. He went right to the top when he went to the cross. He bruised the head of Satan. Now look. Our dependence is on God. Our dependence is on God this morning. Our might is nothing, but his might is everything. Powerful, capable, able. I looked at word might or mighty. The devil's might. He's got a lot of might, but God is almighty. That makes a big difference, doesn't it? I said the devil might be might and the world might be might and have a lot of might, but when you talk about God, he's almighty. There's none above him. He's higher than everything, more powerful than anything. It didn't matter what you come against, young person. You can stand on the word of God and know that he's with you, and he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we serve an almighty God. My weapon's almighty. Mighty, powerful, capable, able, possible, strong. He must be talking about Christ. My weapon must be the Lord. My weapon can't be Mark. It has to be Christ, the new creature, the second Adam. The last Adam. He's the new creature. I'm a Christ man. I've been born again. I'm not of this Adamic race any longer. I can't think like it thinks. I can't go where it wants to go. I can't do what it wants to do. I can't say what it wants to say. I'm a Christ man now. I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I don't do things the way I used to do them. I do them a different way now. I do them according to Christ. Yes. They're mighty through God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can. You can this morning. You're probably tired. But that's okay to be tired. Just be alert a little bit and give me an ear this morning. You don't have to see me. See the Lord. I might turn red. I might scream at you, but listen to the words that I'm saying, because they're going to be profitable to you on your journey. I'm here to tell you, you're going to face an obstacle, and you will. You did this morning when you woke up, and it was you. You're going to face an obstacle that you can't get over. Self is sometimes something you can't get over. Self, who you are. But I'm going to tell you, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. And you can overcome by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. You can overcome by Christ. Implement the instrument, the weapon that God has given us is Christ this morning. And he's here by the Spirit. He lives in me. And he lives in you. Don't let him stay there dormant, but let him live this morning. Let him live. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. To the pulling down of strongholds. The soldier cannot depend upon himself on the battlefield in the warfare. If he's dependent upon self, it's like using a cap gun. You ever seen a cap gun? It looks like a gun, but it ain't real. It just goes pop. It only has power to go pop. And that's what a man does when he tries to fight warfare in himself, in the flesh. It's just pop. And the devil ain't scared of anything that goes pop. But what he is scared of is the name of Jesus. Huh? What he is scared of is when you say, devil. Huh? In the name of Jesus, I command you to get behind me. Woo! I'm going to tell you that is the gospel this morning. The gospel's Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. You know what that means? He was not embarrassed. He went to Athens. He went to Rome. He stood before kings. He stood before priests. And he said, what I got is better than what you got. I ain't ashamed of it. And I'll stand on it. And I'll preach it. And you can put me in prison, but I'll be out tomorrow. You can stone me, but God will raise me up. I'm going to preach until he's through with me. Paul had a weapon, didn't he? It wasn't Paul, but it was Christ. So Ephesians 10, Paul said the weapons. That would be plural, weapons. If you're reading your Bible, a Bible is one of the most important things you can own. You can hold in your hand, tangible, is the Word of God. It never fadeth away to be with you forever. It would behoove you to learn the Bible. It would behoove you to learn the Bible. If you don't know how to sing, and you don't know how to read music to play, if you don't know how to do anything, you can get a Bible and read it. You need a Bible this morning. People are destroyed because they don't know anything. People don't know anything. You only know what you learned. And if you don't learn anything, you don't know nothing. And if you don't read the Bible, you're never going to know it. So learn it. Learn it this morning. It's the most important thing you can hold in your hand. Now, he said, the weapons, and I know there's only one weapon, and that's Christ. But look at what he said. If you look in Ephesians 10, 6 and 10, just bear with me a few minutes this morning. I do have a few things to say. Ephesians 6 and 10, you have that. This is all familiar, but I just wanted to show you something this morning, if I could. Ephesians 6 and 10, do you have that? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Put it on.
You got to do it. You got to put it on. You got to have a willing heart and a willing mind. You got to put it on. You got to put Christ on. You can't assume he's there. You got to put him on. Just like putting clothes on. I know a lot of people, they never was taught to carry their billfold. They put it in the glove compartment. They put it at the house. They walk in the seafood restaurant and they say, I'd ordered this. And they're with me and they'll say, I don't have my billfold. Shame on you. Put it on. You ought to pack your billfold with you. And if you ought to pack your Bible, and you ought to put Christ on. You ought to put him on. You can't use him if you don't put him on. You can't implement him as an instrument of warfare if you don't have him on. Huh? And put him on. For we wrestle not. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Stand. Stand against the tricks and the schemes of your adversary. You're innocent today. Most of you have never faced a lot of schemes. But there's a lot of schemes out there. There's a lot of tricks that he's going to play on you to destroy your innocence. And you're going to need Jesus Christ to help you through those times. You're going to need the Lord. Listen. For we wrestle not. We're not fighting flesh. And I'm not fighting a man. I'm not fighting a man, and a man's not fighting me. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. This is a spiritual war. We're dealing with wickedness in high places. We're dealing with things you can't see. Huh? If you could see him, you could grab him, but you can't see him. But through the eyes of the Spirit, you understand him. You understand the tricks of his trade. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. There he says it again, that you may be able to withstand. I want you to listen, church. Listen to me, young people, this morning. Withstand in the evil day. We're living in the evil day. This is your evil day. There's going to come an evil day in your life. There's going to come some evil times when hell is going to be against you. The adversary is going to be pressing on you very hard. You're going to be struggling. But I'm going to tell you, don't depend on self. It's not a Sunday night fast music jumping around the church. This is not victory. I said, that's not victory. That may feel good, but it's not victory. It's not going to get you through the battle tomorrow. What's going to get you through the battle tomorrow is when the word of God gets down in you and you implement Christ in that battle, put him in the forefront, and you can say in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the oppression of this mind. I rebuke the oppression that's coming against my family. I rebuke the devil. And I'm going to tell you, friend, the Bible said, if you'll withstand him in the name of Jesus, he'll flee from you. Resist him. So stand. Stand. If somebody's, you know, when I was younger, when we fought, I didn't stand. I fought. I did everything I could to deal with that adversary, who he was. But the Lord teaches us to stand when he comes against us. To stand. Now listen, listen closely. He said, have your loins girt about with truth. I'm talking now about weapons. The weapons, Paul used plural in Corinthians at the 10th chapter. And now we're in Ephesians, and he's going to talk about the one weapon, the offensive weapon that we have. I'm going to get to it in a moment. I'm just telling you this. First of all, you gird yourself. You gird yourself with truth. It's the belt around everything. It holds up everything. That's why boys today can't keep their pants up. They don't wear a belt. Huh? My daddy taught me to put a belt on, or he'd put it on the behinder part if I didn't put it around my waist. He bought me a belt when he bought me pants. Huh? He knew they'd get loose and fall down, but you put a belt on, you can keep filling the notches up. Belt. It's truth. Well, you have nothing if you don't have truth. And truth is freedom. I said, truth is freedom. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth is the first part of this armor. Then the breastplate, which covers the breast, the chest, the stomach area.
Because that's the heart. That's the life. That's the passion. That's the motives. It's his breastplate. It's a breastplate of his right, not my right. It's his righteousness. I'm not living according to my righteousness. I don't get up in the morning to try to make Mark live. I get up in the morning to try to make him die that Christ can live. Because I'm going to face a battle. And if I face him in the flesh, I'm going to be destroyed. So I got the breastplate. It covers. It covers. Now I have his passions. I got his desires. I got the breastplate. And of right. Not my right, but his right. And I've got my feet shod. Every soldier is going to be walking, going to be standing, going to be going through places that are treacherous. Going to be times when you're going to face some rough terrain. Going to be rough terrain. But guess what? You got your feet shod. Huh? You got on your feet shod. That's important this morning. To have your feet shod. Shoes prepared and ready to march in the heat of the battle. Not running. These shoes that he gives us don't run. They stand. When it gets hot, the first thing self wants to do is exit. Get away from it. Do whatever it takes, Lord, to get me out of this. Most of our preaching is trying to get you out of a struggle when you ought to be preaching to keep you in it. Because you're never going to learn nothing about your salvation if you don't stay in the struggle. Somebody said, I'm in the valley. Well, praise the Lord. Well, feet shod. Then, above all, are not being most important, but without it, you're not going to make it. Having the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Because faith is the preeminent thing. For by grace are you saved, it's his, but it's through faith. That's what I do. He gave me a measure of faith, and I use it. I'm saved because I use my faith. I'm saved because the faith he gave me, I used it and put it in him. And he rewarded me with salvation. And so it's a shield. You understand that? It's a shield. Young people, it's a shield. It means it's something you can move about. It's not stationary. It's not like the feet. It's not like the breastplate. It's not anything you take off and on. But the shield you can move about, because continually your adversary is throwing darts at you. He's throwing things to inject himself into your life. And if you have the shield, you know what's coming, and you're standing there blocking that. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which will quench. Somebody said, I don't want to fight. You're in the wrong church. You're in the wrong church. You need to go to the other one. You're going to fight if you're in the church of the Lord. So the first four parts of this armor is defense. Nobody likes to play defense. Everybody wants to shoot the ball. But if you're a Christian, you better be defensive. You better be prepared. To listen to me, what I'm fixing to tell you, this little phrase, you better learn to take things. Can I tell you that? Because if you don't learn how to take things, you got to learn to take ridicule. You know people's going to ridicule you. They're going to blaspheme. They're going to mock who you are. You better learn to take that. If not, you'll take up for self. You'll take it personal. And you'll take up for self. You better learn to take things. When people talk and say all manner of evil against you, you better learn to take it. You can take it. Because you got the armor on. That's why it's given to us that we can take things. That we can withstand. have to withstand. There are things you're going to have to withstand this morning. There was a time in my life when I don't even know if I thought everybody loved me. I didn't know no better. Huh? I didn't know any better. I was innocent. I didn't know there would be people sitting on the other side of the church that didn't like me and was jealous of me. And when I learned that, it floored me. Because I didn't know that existed. I was innocent. But worse than that, when I learned it and it floored me, it affected me. It will affect your spirit. Don't take it personal. Withstand it. Withstand it. You have the armor on. Withstand it. People will say things to hurt you. The devil will put people in your path to hurt you. They'll be malicious. They'll be wicked toward you. And you're going to have to show forth Christ or yourself. And in the heat of the battle, if you don't watch out, self will be implemented and you'll lose the battle. But if you'll let Christ fight your battles, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let Christ fight the battle. David said, I don't come to you with a spear and with a sword. I'm not coming to you with these human hands, with this human intellect, but what I'm coming with you is something God gave me. It's what God has done in me. It's what God has taught me. It's what God has done. And I'm coming against you with that. I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. No giant is going to fall without the Lord of hosts. And the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. The helmet guards the mind. Now the mind is the seat of the intellect. And it's the beginning of everything. If the mind doesn't tell me to reach my hand out, it cannot reach out. Look at that. The hand's not doing that voluntarily. It's doing that because the mind said do it. Huh? There can be no action if the mind's guarded. So he gives us the helmet of salvation to protect our mind. And then he said, the weapon, the offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. It's the Spirit. Listen now, church. It's the Spirit's favorite weapon. The Word of God. Huh? The Holy Ghost's favorite weapon is the Word of God. Somebody said he's a Holy Ghost preacher. Well, that must mean he preaches on the death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and the coming of the Lord. That's what a Holy Ghost preacher does. The Holy Ghost come to speak of Christ. He's here this morning to talk about the offensive weapon, the one that can stand in the midst of it all, that nothing can stand against, and that's Christ, the Word of God. Do you know that you can have one wicked thought, one fiery dart, and it can destroy you? But if you can implement the armory and know one scripture, and get it down in your spirit. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard. That word standard in the Spanish means bandero. It means a flag. What will it lift up? It'll lift up the cross. It'll lift up the victory. You and I have the victory through Christ. So, you have your Bibles. Now I'm going to be honest with you. I don't get nervous when I preach, when I start preaching. I'm only nervous when I begin. I'm not nervous anymore. I was. I've been preaching 22 years and sometimes my knees still knock. But when I begin to talk about this great Christ, I'm not nervous anymore. He's with me. Hallelujah. Lo, he's with me always. And I'm repetitive. You know, people don't like repetitiveness. Because out of repetitiveness, you learn something. Huh? You know, when I was a boy, we was poor. I was the baby of 8 children. We was poor. We all fought after one chicken when mama cooked it. Her favorite thing, the cheapest thing you could buy was potatoes, French fries. We ate pounds and pounds and pounds, hundreds of pounds, and light bread, 5 cents a loaf, potatoes, 20 cents a bag. Man, I ate potatoes and light bread and sweet tea. We was poor. I was the first child in the house to get an air conditioner. We found it in the middle of the road. The greatest day of my life. Huh? I told my daddy, "Daddy, we've been all these years without air conditioning. My buddy's got an air conditioner in his house." I'm not that old, but I'm old enough to know that before they had air. And I said, "Daddy, I want an air conditioner." He said, "What he always told me, we'll pray about it." To me, that meant nothing. I ain't want you to pray about it. I want you to go to Western Auto. That's when they had a Western Auto. You don't know nothing about Western Auto. That's 4 years born. It was a store kind of like, well, I can't quite come up with the right name, but a small Walmart. And Daddy, you go down there, you know, they were astronomical, the price was. I wanted Klima. I wanted an AC. And we didn't have any, and my buddies had some, and he didn't care what my buddies had because he didn't have no money. But I'm going to tell you, we was right. He said, "I'm going to pray about it." And he did, I guess. I didn't. He did. His prayer got all the way to heaven because we was riding down a 4-lane highway one day. And he said, "Look at there, Mark." And I looked up and there was a big old box in the road. And he said, he pulled over and he said, "I wonder what that is." And I sat in the car. I didn't care what it was. He got out and went back there and he fiddled around and come back and he said, "Mark, come help me." I said, "What do you want?" He said, "It's an air conditioner." I was raised by a man that had faith. I'm not here to brag on my daddy, but he definitely implemented the cross and Christ. He had faith in the Lord and the Word of God. That's how I was raised. I was 19 years old before I ever took an aspirin. I was 24 years old before I ever got an injection from a doctor. I was raised by faith. Everything was faith. I live by faith. I'm going to tell you, you can live by faith today. You can put your faith in the Lord. You can put your faith in the Word of God. He never changes. What he did for Daddy, he'll do for you. What he did for them yesterday, he'll do it today, and he'll do it tomorrow.
So we have built up a resistance. You know, you have to build up a resistance. You let the Lord build that up in your life. A resistance against the world, Satan and his tactics, and his onslaught. And then you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. By the way, I got the air conditioner. It was a used air conditioner, but Dad had to get an electrician to come put 220. It was the biggest air conditioner you ever saw in your life. And the front was gone, busted into 1,000 pieces, but the air conditioner worked perfect. I moved my bed in the living room. Hallelujah. The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost, has furnished. He's furnished. He has furnished us with a weapon. He's gave us Christ. Christ is in me. Jesus said, "I'm with you, but I shall be in you." So you see that the sword of the Spirit is the continual, not one time. It's repetitive. The sword of the Spirit is the continual revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not one trip to an altar.
It's not opening the Bible to the book of Acts and saying, oh, they got baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's the end of it. Shutting it up. It's a revelation. The Bible is a revelation. The Bible said John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he was given the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, if you have your Bible, 2 Corinthians 6, I believe I told you that before I started off. I told my wife I wouldn't do any rabbit hunting this morning. In other words, I wouldn't veer off because I have a limited time. Look, I want to tell you why I think Paul said, if you don't mind, I think Paul said weapons in there. Because it's just Christ. But once you receive Christ, you begin to receive so many benefits from him. Paul called it weapons, the weapons of our warfare. So look at what he says in 1 Corinthians 6. Did I say 2nd? I meant 1st. I'm sorry. I meant 2 Corinthians. I'm going to get it right. 2 Corinthians 6. Listen to what Paul said. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain, for he hath said, I've heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense that in anything that the ministry be blamed, but all things are proving ourselves as ministers of God in much patience. Patience is a weapon. I know you don't think it is. But patience is a tremendous weapon. And you got to go through a little bit of tribulation to get it. But if you ever get some patience about you, you're going to need patience. Because it's a tremendous weapon in the warfare. Now look, he said patience. And he said afflictions, necessity, distresses, stripes, imprisonment, tumults, labors, watchings, fasting. By pureness, holiness, not yours but his. Be holy as he's holy. Huh? By pureness, listen to this one, by knowledge. By knowledge, by knowing him. Paul said at the end, he said, oh, that I might know him. By knowledge, these are weapons. Knowledge is a weapon. To know something about the Lord is a weapon. I hear my old mama now. We'd be going through, one of the worst times. And I can hear her tell my dad, Junior, that's what she called him, Junior, I know the Lord's going to make a way. Huh? I know. I learned. I done been through enough to know. Huh? I know. Long-suffering. Kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the arm of righteousness on the right hand, on the left. Huh? This is the weapons Paul's talking about. Weapons. You get that from the weapon, from the word of God, to the pulling down of strongholds. That's a fortified place. That's a fortress. Huh? Look, this tells us nothing is a pushover. Nothing is going to be easy. I know we think that America's hard, but it wasn't supposed to be easy. Huh? It's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be fortified. We're at the end. Satan's forces has collected in men, in a world. It's a fortified place. It's a fortress. It's a domain for Satan. It's supposed to be difficult to deal with. Quit complaining. I know there's passing laws and a bunch of stuff's happening. I know there's a lot of things going on in Washington, but I don't live in Washington. I'm not from Washington. I didn't say it didn't affect me, but I'm going to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And no matter what comes my way, I'm going to stand by the grace of God. And I'm going to preach this gospel. Somebody said, what you going to do when? I'm going to cross that bridge when I get to it. I'm not barring trouble tomorrow. I'm going to wait till it gets to the front door. And when I do, I'm going to do the same thing I've always done. Dad told me to trust God. Trust God. There are other men that's had just as bad, worse than we've had, or we're going to have. Paul stood in the face of every adverse thing there was, and he preached this gospel to every creature in Asia Minor. Huh? They stoned him and left him for dead. He didn't call Neblet Beard and Arsinoe. He called upon the Lord. He didn't need a lawyer. He had God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. They're going to deal with the fortresses in America. I got news for you. I preach a gospel that deals with the fortress that are in people's life. I've preached and seen men that a fortress was built around their life. They were demon-possessed. They were bound by everything in the world. But I'm going to tell you, as I preached and you preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, it broke down the fortress and made the man free. Nothing stands in the face of Christ. Nothing can stand in the face of the preaching of the gospel. It tells me now that from generation to generation to generation, this thing's got worse, like the Bible said it was going to be. And the things have fortified themselves. There's a fortress now in America. Huh? They're not hiding their sin anymore. They're open. But that doesn't stop the preacher from preaching this Christ. He said, well, what's going to happen to those marrying each other, the same sex? They'll get saved if they hear the gospel. Or they'll be damned if they hear the gospel. This gospel does one or the other. Clendenin said Noah was the perfect preacher. He was the perfect preacher. He damned all that was supposed to be damned. And he saved all that was supposed to be saved. That's what the gospel does. It judges all. If we fight after the flesh, we substantiate, we uphold and help the other side. Huh? Every time I lean to this flesh, I lean to something weak and frail. But if we use the weapon that God has given us by the Holy Ghost, that's the gospel. The church has been given the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then the fortified areas of our nation, of our families, can be brought down. There's no other way. What you gonna do? What's the plan? If you don't have the gospel, what is the plan? There's no plan. You gonna march? You gonna hold up a sign? You gonna put a bumper sticker? Huh? What's that gonna help? Preach! Preach! Young men, preach! We need a generation to preach. Stand up and preach. Don't become politically correct, or don't become like the other side, bitter against everything, but stand up in the midst of it all and say, I don't know anything, but I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm headed toward the end now. At the church, when I say that, they look at one another. They say he's going to do that 3 times. Well, I hope I don't do it 3 times. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Joshua. You know what I came to do this morning? I come to stir up you, stir your spirit up. And you preachers in this house, including myself, I come to stir us up. You young people, I come to get you to say, Lord, do it. Use your word. Huh? Use your word. I want to look at this for a moment if I could. If you'll bear with me for just a moment. I'm not going to take long, I promise. But I don't have to finish, but I'd like to get through this. Look at here. Joshua 6. Joshua the 6th chapter. This is called the fall of Jericho. Now, you may not know a lot about Jericho, but you've heard it preached a lot of times. You may not know that God had given the land to his people.
You may not know that Caleb was going to take Horeb. It was his as an inheritance. You may not know Manasseh, Joseph's son, and Ephraim. They had land that was going to be allotted to them. But there was an obstacle. There was something standing in between them and the promise. And it was a fortress. It was fortified. It had been there for centuries. It had the most fighting army you've ever seen. Jericho was a powerful. It had a king. It was powerful. It was the gateway to Canaan. It was the gateway to freedom. It was there. It was an obstacle. It was in the way. They could not go any further. Somebody said the sea was tough. They got through the sea. He opened it. God done it. Huh? You want to know how he got through? Well, it wasn't by the will of Moses. It wasn't by the will of man. All Moses did was stick his arm out. Huh? I know they teach different today. You got to do all these other things, but Moses stuck his arm out with a rod in it, and the water stood up, and he got to the other side, and he did it again, and the water receded. You said, oh, preacher, make it harder than that. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to make it harder. I'm trying to tell you to depend on God, and God can do it. That's a fortified city. Years and years and years and years of building walls. Their walls were so big that they built their houses on them. They were fortified. Nobody was taking that city. And what they did when they learned of the children of Israel, they feared. They did not fear the man. They did not fear Joshua. But they feared their God. They feared their God. They knew what was happening. So they shut up the city. No man could go out, and no one was going in. It was shut up. Fortified. A fortress. The fortress had to be crossed. It had to be gone through for them to get into the rest of the nation, for them to be able to take the place. And Joshua, he was the leader. He was the captain. He had men that was above 20 years old there. No doubt that was the army. That was the part. They knew how to fight. He had the ark. He had priests. He had followers. There was a pile of people. Bunch of people. Maybe upwards of 2 million people. Could have been. I don't know. It's not important. But it was a bunch of them. And when they got there, the obstacle set in front of them. And the angel of the Lord, Christ came. Christ came. Oh, you know there's a lot of people don't believe Christ is in the Old Testament. They think he popped up in Matthew. He's always been there. He took on a flesh body in the New Testament. He's always been there. The Holy Ghost is always, don't you think because you got baptized in the Holy Ghost and it happened in the book of Acts chapter 2, that's the only people ever had the Holy Ghost. David was a prophet filled with the Holy Ghost. When he spoke, the Bible said the Holy Ghost spoke. Jesse Duplantis, who's a false prophet, said the Old Testament ain't nothing but stealing and killing. The only one stealing and killing is Jesse. I didn't come to preach on Jesse. I do that at my church. But what I did come to tell you, the Old Testament is very important. It's a schoolmaster. It's a type and a shadow of who we are today. So there he is. Christ come and visited. If you don't believe that, then the Bible said, the Lord said unto my Lord. You can study that if you want to. The Lord is Elohim, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Elohim, that's God. Christ is Lord, capital L, little O, little R, little D. The Lord said unto my Lord, who was David's Lord? Christ. Sit there on my right hand till I make thine enemies your footstool. That's what he said. So, Joshua got the words. Said, hey, I'm going to give you the city. It's yours. You don't have to strategize. Don't write down on paper. Don't try to figure it out. Don't go before the priest. Don't do that. It's yours. You just obey what I have to say. This is what I want you to do.
Huh? This is what I want you to do. I want you to take the people. And I want you for 6 days to march one time around Jericho. What a sight that must have been. Huh? What a sight that must have been. They're going to march around Jericho. And on the seventh day, which would be the Sabbath day, on the seventh day, I want you to march seven times. Now, it's not just by chance, and I'm not a scholar, and I'm not here to teach you anything if you don't want to learn, but seven is very significant in the Bible. It means God's completion. It means perfection. It means God's done something in you. You know what he's doing to you if you're going through a trial? He's seven in you. He's seven in you. Do you know what he done? He's seven. Look at the church. Look at the book of Revelation. It has 15 different sets of seven. Why? Because it's perfection. He's purifying a church. There ain't seven churches, but he's going to get one church out of seven. Huh? He's going to get a church. He's going to get a church out of all this mess. He's got a church. He's purifying it. Seven. What happened? You think it's by coincidence that the Hebrew boys didn't bow to the God that he built in that desert? He didn't bow. Now they're not bowing. We're not bowing to somebody we don't believe in. We're going to stand. Well, if you don't bow and get with the program, you're going to be face persecution. But it's okay. We don't care. Somebody said, if you don't bow to the government, I don't even think about the government. I don't give them a second of my time. I think about Christ. I put my mind, I preach Christ. At the church, I preach Christ. I'm informing them of the things coming. I preach Christ. He's the solution. I ain't worried about the problem. Them Hebrew boys, and it's not coincidental that they brought him before the furnace and said, turn it up seven times. That's not coincidental. He's purifying the church. He's going to purify the church. It ain't coincidental they passing laws. It's not coincidental they passed laws in Daniel's day. They couldn't find anything morally against him, so they got against his religion. They knew it was a prayer warrior. You pray three times a day. So they made a decree for 30 days a man couldn't pray to anybody but to Darius. That ain't nothing. It ain't nothing this government's going to do. It ain't already been done. Guess what Daniel did? They made a law, and Daniel opened his window and prayed to the God of heaven. And guess what happened? The law couldn't be changed. Daniel didn't try to change the law. He had God. He went to the den of lions. Oh, Darius only went and couldn't sleep. The king couldn't sleep. The one put him in. The law had been passed. Couldn't change the law. It was a decree. But guess what happened? God shut the mouth of the lion. He took the heat out of the fire. What you worried about? What you panicking about? What you bristling up for? You can't fight this thing yourself. You have a Christ. You have somebody that's already won the battle. Oh, y'all doing good, young people. Stay awake a little bit. I'm almost through. Huh? Y'all learned anything this morning? Good. March. So that's what they did. That ain't very spiritual, is it? We like spiritual services. Most spiritual services is flesh. That's all it is, flesh. Flesh did something. Spiritual services is obedience and order. He said, this is what I want you to do, son. I want you to take them people, and I want you to march one time each day for 6 days. And this is the order. You know God has an order. God has an order. There's no such thing as being out of order and God being in it. There's an order. God says it this way. God told Naaman, God through the prophet told Naaman, said, you go and dip seven times. He said, I got rivers back. No, that ain't what I said. You dip seven times in Jordan. And I heard a preacher friend of mine preach, if God said seven, six won't do. I guess you've heard that preached too. God said, Joshua, you take those people and you put those men of valor, you put those people that can fight out front. This is the process. This is the procession. This is how the thing's going to go. You put them out front, put those men out front, and then behind them, I want you to put the priests, seven priests, not six, not 12, Seven. Because I'm doing something. Seven. Seven priests with seven horns. Hallelujah. And then behind them, I want the priest to put the ark up on their shoulder, probably the Kohathites, and I want you to march with the ark behind the priest. And then behind them, going to be the rest of y'all. Huh? So the first part, listen to me, the first part was going to execute judgment. That's the first part. They were the fighters. They executed judgment, what God desired. The second part was the preacher. It was the gospel. He blew the trumpet. Everything about a trumpet, everything about blowing a trumpet in the Old Testament or the New, it's the same thing, the gospel. It's the preaching of the gospel, blowing the trumpet. Behind that is the presence of God. He always follows the preaching of the gospel. His presence will come. Anywhere the gospel's preached, he'll be there. And behind that is faith. All of those people were faithful. They were faithful. That's all they were. They were faithful. Some of you may never blow a trumpet. You may never fight like a valiant man. But you can be faithful. Because you're bringing up the rear. And faith always watches the back. So there they are. They go around. Huh? They're going around. Can you imagine? Probably, let's just have an easy estimate. Can you imagine 250,000 people marching around? Took him an hour and a half from the front where he started, the man in the front, which was the warriors. It took him an hour and a half, history says, to make it around to the other side of the city. Hour and a half. And you imagine how long it took for the rest just continue going around. So there they are, 250,000 people walking around. Now, they couldn't get too close because they'd throw something at them. And they weren't trying to shoot back. So all they're doing is obeying God. They're not fighting a battle. They're obeying God. Because the weapons of that warfare are not common. And I bet there's a bunch of people saying, this ain't the way we ought to do it. This ain't how we should do it. Now, I think we should do it this. It don't matter what you think. It's what God says. If God said it, do it. The power's in doing. So they marched six times. Sister Sarah, come to the piano. They marched six times. Six times. Six times, 6 days. They had to get up. Get up. Huh? Had to get up knowing they wasn't going to do nothing. The warrior knew he wasn't going to pull his sword. Huh? The warrior knew he wasn't going to pull his sword. He wasn't going to fight. He's just going to march. The faithful people were behind. You know the only people doing anything? Does anybody know the only people doing anything? The priests with the trumpets. They blow in the trumpets. They blowing every day. Blowing. Huh? You know there's a lot of people got a trumpet, but they ain't got nothing to blow it with. God ain't give them no breath, no message, no God to give them nothing. I heard a lot of preachers preach. I know a lot of people, they preach, but they ain't got nothing to say. Huh? They ain't gonna deliver nobody. Them fortified areas is gonna keep building up. But there's some preachers that God's called for this end time. Huh? You believe you one of them? You believe some of you in here is a preacher God's called and put his hand on? I believe that. When I studied last night, way up into the morning and early this morning, I said, God, you got people in that house. They're gonna obey your word and they're gonna march. And they're going to just, they're the only ones doing anything. Listen, let me tell you something. I know you might go to church for something else. I know you may like the music. And don't think I'm against music. I'm not. I love music. I love to sing. Can't play anything, but love to sing. Been singing since I was 8 years old. But let me tell you something. That's not what we go to church for. We go to hear the preacher. Huh? Ain't no devil scared of music. But the devil's scared of a man that blows the trumpet. Yeah. A man that preaches the gospel. I'm going to tell you, he's scared of a people that'll sit there and listen. He's scared of them when they begin to gain faith in what he's saying in the word of God, when they're growing in grace. I'm going to tell you, he's fearful of that the generation that begins to know God. I'm going to tell you this morning, the people that know their God, the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Yeah. 6 days. 6 days, nobody's doing anything but preaching. That's all they're doing. Blowing the ram's horn. Blowing the ram's horn. seventh day, they got to get up early because they got seven times to do what they did them other 6 days just one time. We there, church. If we ever did it more than we've ever done it, we better do it today. Seven times now they got up early that morning, Brother Billy, and they got up early saying, you know what? You better get yourself together. This is going to be a long day. We're in for a long treat. It's going to be a long journey. But hey, something's about to happen. I mean, they had to be feeling that. They had to know God's doing something. Something's about to happen. I believe God's about to do something.
Yes, amen.
You said, well, look at this. Well, you can be gloom and doom if you want to, but I'm telling you, I believe God's about to do something.
Yes.
So they marched the first time. They marched on that Sabbath day. First time, ain't nobody but the priest blowing the horn. He's just preaching. I learned a long time ago, people can shout, run around the church, stay awake, do all kind of things when people are singing. But when a man starts preaching, they get so sleepy they can't hold their eyes open. Man, when I was an evangelist, those people on them first three rows, I was a wild man. Those people on them first three rows didn't have a prayer. You wasn't about to sleep. I screamed and sweated and slobbered and snotted. I wasn't about to let you sleep. It might not have been God keeping you awake, but I was. I went to a church one time on a Sunday morning. They invited me to preach. It wasn't about 14 people there. I stood up and took the microphone. I said, hallelujah. The guy got up and went to the back, turned it down. I said, praise the Lord. He got up again, went to the back, turned it down. I just stopped. I said, sir, you can turn it completely off. Just let me hold it. He moved up on about the fourth pew because I was too loud for him, I guess. He moved on the fourth pew and went to sleep. His chin dropped down by his navel. And so all I did was get right by him and say, hallelujah, glory to God. You said that ain't spiritual. It kept him awake. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. They blew that trumpet. That's what they did. They blew that trumpet. They blew that trumpet. They blew that trumpet. They blew that trumpet. They preached that gospel. They preached that gospel. They opened that black book. They read scriptures. They preached. They preached. They preached. They blew the trumpet. They preached. I'm afraid we don't like to preach sometimes. I've been to churches where they sang out the green book, the blue book, the black book, and then they got grandma's book in the back where she wrote a bunch of things down, got it out and sang. Sing. And then I get up to preaching. Tired. Look, man, quit singing and let me preach. The way we ought to do the thing is how we done it this morning.
Yeah.
I know you may not like that, and it may be against, but I'm just telling you, I'm a singer. I love to sing. I sing all the time. But at the church, I just get two songs and preach. Sometimes I don't have a song. I just preach. Blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Tell them about Christ. Tell them about the warfare. Tell them about the victory. Blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet. Hallelujah to God. That's all they did. 13 times around that wall. And all they did was preach. Somebody said, I bet them other bunch was ready to go home. They ain't like us. They're not like us. They're about to go into a city that was theirs, a nation, a land that was their promise. And it wasn't about how they felt. They was tired or they got sick of hearing the trumpet. That's why all these big churches got praise and worship, which they don't even know what that means in the Bible.
Yeah.
They got praise and worship leaders. So what they do, they pay them more than they pay the preacher. And he sings for like an hour. Everybody jumps around or sways. And they hug each other and dance with one another. And when the preacher gets up, he apologizes for preaching 15 minutes. And the kingdom of darkness keeps fortifying itself. And I'm telling you, until a preacher gets that microphone and preachers cries and stands. Six times, fixing to be seven in one day. He says, church again? Preacher again? Yeah. It's the only hope you got. Uh-huh. You don't have no other hope. Unplug that piano, because that ain't your hope. Uh-uh. I didn't come to feed you. I come to tell you the truth. The truth is, it ain't about hype. It ain't about flesh. It's about the preaching of this gospel.
Amen, yeah.
Huh? 13 times, brother, they blow in the trumpet. 7 in that whole crowd. Purifying. God's about to do something. And I'm telling you, that rearward, from the front to the back, that bunch is anticipating. Faith is rising up in the rearward. That's the ones. That's you. Some of you that never preached, never seen. That's you. You're being faithful. He told them, I'm closing. He told them, he said, what I want you to do. He said, all you folks that's in the back. He said, when the preachers preach, shh, be quiet. Don't utter one word. Huh? Listen to me. I done been to so many churches. Man preached so fast, I ain't understood 3 words he said. And then on top of that, they start screaming and hollering so loud. Because I don't know one thing the man said. He could have been said a dog's running a rabbit. Praise his holy name. I wouldn't have known the difference. He told him, you be quiet while the preacher's preaching. You be quiet while they blow the trumpet. Your time will come. And on the 7th time, they started out. And they went around. And there's those people that's going to do the executing of the message. Huh? They're going to execute what the priests were doing, blowing the trumpet. And there's the presence of God, and there's the faithful people following them. They ain't said a word in 13 trips. And they didn't know when they was going to get to either. They didn't have an inside track. All of a sudden, Joshua stood up. You ain't heard from Joshua the whole time. He stood up and he said, shout! Shout! I know what you're thinking, but that ain't the shouting I'm talking about. It ain't a jig. You know what they said? Do it, Lord. You're the greatest. None like you. You're the one. Do it, God. Perform it. Work a miracle. And the Bible said the wall fell flat. That thing wasn't fortified anymore. It had a hole that army could walk through.
Yeah.
Huh? You know what happened? God pulled the rug out from under the wall. And the wall fell to splinters. And the mighty men went into the city. And they executed judgment upon everyone that was unright. But the Bible says, Rahab the harlot. And her house was saved. I'm telling you, God's going to execute judgment on America and the world. But Rahab's going to be saved. Preach the gospel, preacher. If you're here this morning and God's touched your life and put a message in you, if you got some air to blow the trumpet, I want you to be a preacher. God's called you to preach. God's called you to stand up. Blow the trumpet. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Matter what it looks like. When I first started preaching, I called Brother Daniel, my brother. I said, I'll preach my liver out. And they just sat there and looked at me. He said, oh son, that's good for you. But I finally reached a point to where I need you to be quiet while I preach, because I got something to say. Men's got something to say. They're going to help you. They're going to build your faith. And the wall that's fortified your families and fortified America, it's fortified. But this gospel is going to break it down.
Amen.
Stand to your feet this morning. I'm going to say, Brother Mark, I don't really know how to do this. I'm not no professional at this. Sometimes God moves on me
And he uses me to do some things, but I don't feel that this morning. But what I do feel this morning, and I felt all night last night, I didn't sleep much at all, was that God wants to use you as a preacher. I'm talking to some of you young men this morning. Not to wallow around, not to try to please men. He doesn't need your ability. He doesn't need anything. He just needs a willing vessel that he can get you to blow that trumpet, because America needs the preaching of this gospel. Without the preaching of the gospel, we don't have a prayer. Without God intervening, and he'll intervene only through the preaching of the gospel. Without God intervening, religiosity is going to keep swelling, and men are going to keep being puffed up. And the world is going to keep going. It's not going to stop being corrupt. It's going to keep being corrupt. But the preaching of the gospel can change that. Did you hear me? You a preacher in here this morning? I said the preaching of the gospel will change what's going on around us. Did you hear me this morning, preacher? Put the trumpet to your mouth. Don't listen to anything. Don't worry about if they say amen, oh me, or they shout you down. Just put the trumpet to your mouth and preach the gospel, because behind you will be faithful followers, people that love God. And in front of you will be that which execute is the word of God. Execute, and most of all, the presence of God will be with you. Preach this gospel. Every head bowed. I want the preacher. I want specifically the younger preacher. I want you to come this morning. If you're a young preacher, I want you to come. Just stand right here across this front. Stand. Come. 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 Young preacher. Young preacher. Young preacher. Young preacher. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, open your eyes for a moment. Look over here. Look at that. You got any confidence in those men when they set the trumpet to their mouth? Huh? Are you believing, hey, they're going to tell me something by faith? I'm going to grow. I'm going to know something. I'm going to see this Christ like I never seen him. I need them. Do you know this youth camp needs them? Do you know America needs these young men? Elders, elder preachers, please, if you would, keep praying for me, if you would. Faithful. Preachers, Lucas, come. Preachers, come. Preachers, elders. I want to tell you something this morning. Never been a more crucial time in our life. And the every enemy in the world is fighting you. You're at an age probably where everything in the world is pulling against you. I was your age at one time. But I'm going to tell you, God has put a message in you. He's put a message down in you. And he's given you air to blow that trumpet. And I'm going to tell you, there's a family somewhere in America that's got a fortified fence around them. And the devil's encamped about them. But you could say something that'll change that. Courage this morning. I want you to raise your hands this morning, if you would. I prayed for you all night. I don't know some of you, but I prayed for you. Would you lay hands on them, please?